I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I got a chance to talk to Kate Mulgrew, who's probably best known as Captain Janeway from Star Trek Voyager. But did you also know that she's a true theater lover who starred in the Broadway revival of Equus? By the way, try and say Broadway revival five times fast. That's not going to be pretty. Anyway, along with her impressive TV work, she's also a sought-after voiceover artist that's been featured in cartoons and video games. She's currently guest-starring on Sci-Fi's Warehouse 13 and is a series regular on Adult Swim's NTSF SDSUV. It's a send-up of CSI NCIS 24-type shows written by Paul Scheer. I talked to Kate in a conference call where she was just absolutely cool to talk to. She discussed her work on Warehouse 13, the ending to Star Trek Voyager, her career advice to actors, and what she would love to do in the theater. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. And now, here's Kate.
What was the experience like on Warehouse 13 on the set compared to some of your past projects, including Star Trek Voyager?
Well, you know, hindsight is 2020, and I've had some wonderful experiences in my life and some not so wonderful. This is certainly up there. Jack Kenny's got to be one of the best showrunners I've ever worked with, and he sets the tone for the set. And on the set, there was not only a high degree of amiability, just short of conviviality, but a real sense of camaraderie. And it was collaborative, which you don't always get in episodic television, as I'm sure you gentlemen are aware. So I felt very much a part of the creative team. Simply adored Jack Kenny from the first moment. And Saul Rubinek, Allison Scagliati, Joanne Kelly, and the divine Eddie McClintock, who could ask for a better core group. I mean, it was the ingredients were just there for a perfect souffle.
Let's say if we went back to the beginning of your career and you had a crystal ball and could kind of see just all the many places you've been and the things you'd see. I mean, you know, Shakespeare on stage, Ryan's Hope, of course, Voyager, and you know, now the comedy and back in sci-fi. I mean, would that surprise you, or?
It would surprise me. I mean, you're asking me if I had looked into that crystal ball when I was 18 years old.
Yes.
I saw myself as, of course, the next Sarah Bernhardt, or preferably the next Eleanor Hedusa. You know, I thought I was going to be a very, very strictly legit dramatic actress. And the beauty of life is that we don't have a crystal ball. We'd all shoot ourselves, I think, if we did. It unfolded in a mysterious, unexpected, and in many ways, remarkable way. I think I've been blessed with, one could argue, three iconic roles. I think Mary Ryan, to start a career playing an iconic role is a great blessing, and the fact that she developed into these other characters was a further enhancement. So I think I had the career I was meant to have. I certainly loved to act every inch and step of the way. And if I may say this for posterity, I'm having more fun now than I ever have before. You shed a lot of stuff at my age. And when you're younger, the ambition, I think, is probably one of the key ingredients. And when you're older, the key ingredient is simply joy. So that's where I am right now.
In the sense that you are, you know, a bona fide sci-fi legend, when you get sci-fi roles offered to you, I mean, is that like comfort food, or does it give you pause, or what sort of is your mentality now when you get offered these sci-fi parts?
I don't get offered these sci-fi parts. This was the first one. And I was delighted to take it because it was not only so well written, but it was, it felt different to me, Joshua. It felt special, and it felt light and smart, and that's what I want. It didn't carry with it the baggage of some other science fiction shows. It has a real delicacy to it. And at the same time, I think it's, as someone had said before, a well-oiled machine. Yes, but it's still a very sleek and well-run machine.
Have there been a lot of differences in the nature or just the general feel of working on sci-fi projects versus non-sci-fi projects?
Well, Yes, of course. I mean, as I pointed out before, I think you may have been listening. You have more green screens. You have
sure.
many more effects, special effects. That in itself can be quite challenging. Also, you're dealing with a different mentality, and I would say it's a different kind of an imagination, a different kind of creative imagination. It's very forward-looking, although it's essentially rooted in science or reality, I should say. The wings, the nature of it is to be bigger than life. So in that regard, it's very special and wonderful to play.
What exactly are you looking for in a part these days? Do you like it, like as you were saying, being a kind of lighter and smarter and not quite so dark?
Absolutely. And by lighter, I don't mean silly or
right.
dismissive or even cavalier. I mean that there can be depths, great depths to the lightness. But the lightness is just the actor's personal ability to let go of unnecessary baggage, such as nerves, a fear of landing the wrong way on a line. All of that is dispelled and all of that is gone. And on Warehouse 13, it was just like, it was like sprinting. It was like a flying. It was just fun. Great fun.
When Voyager first started, not only were you the first female captain lead, but you were also on a ship that wasn't called Enterprise. Were you nervous that the fans weren't going to accept you or the show?
My ship was called Voyager, which was the best possible name for any ship, right?
Right.
Was I nervous? I'm sure I was nervous. Only insofar as I was the first woman. I know that the expectations were very high, if not, in fact, unreasonably high. I knew that there was a great deal of money riding on this. It was a 7-year franchise, and I knew that they were watching me very, very, very carefully. So having understood all that and embraced all that, I just said to myself, what the hell, I'm going for it. And, you know, it stood me in good stead that I had not been familiar with Star Trek. I didn't know anything about it. So I was literally just sort of blown out of a cannon, and that's the way to do start something of that magnitude.
Were you satisfied with the way they ended the show? I remember when it ended, there was a lot of criticism. A lot of people didn't like the whole time travel sequence because that's always a little sketchy. But how did you feel about it? Did you feel that it did the show justice the way they ended it?
You know, with this kind of an ardent and devoted fan base, you can't please everybody. And having said that, I will tell you that I had a very, very active and significant hand in Endgame. I liked it. I helped compose it. I helped sort of decide what the ending should be. And I think that there was no more graceful or passionate way to say goodbye than to have the Admiral die and the Captain go on.
Have you had any interesting fan encounters over the years from either?
Any fan encounters? Yes, I was talking about this in Vegas the other day. One of the most interesting moments was when I was asked to marry two women at a convention. And when I indicated a slight unease with it, they said, you must understand that you are fully licensed to do this. You are the captain. And so I did. I'm probably going to pay for this, right?
Wow. You've had probably a lot of interesting experiences with your long and varied career. Are you ever planning to write an autobiography?
I'm in the middle of doing it right now.
Oh, great.
I'm writing a book with my daughter, which I hope will be one of a few. I've always loved to write, but I've never had the real confidence to support the discipline. So I think that now, looking back, I'm just going to do it. I think that I have some rather interesting stories to tell, and hopefully they would be helpful stories. So let's hope.
With Ryan's help playing out on SoapNet the last few years, do you ever watch it or watch yourself? And also, do you get more fans coming up to you now because of that?
I don't watch myself, ever.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really rough, but I have stopped watching myself. So my answer to that is no. But fans are, as always, gracious, and they watch everything. And that's the nature of a good fan, right?
I was reading about some of your theater, and you have quite an extensive and amazing theater background. I was wondering if you ever plan on going back to theater.
I never stop doing the theater.
That's great to hear.
The television is what you is obviously what one learns about more quickly. But I live in New York, and I'm always doing something. Last year, I played Cleopatra and Antony and Cleopatra. And it was a dream that I had longed to do for many, many years. So I've always got my finger in a lot of pots, theatrically, in New York.
Not many people know or may not know that aside from your acting in the theater and on television, you do a lot of voice acting for video games. How
mm-hmm.
do you feel about voice acting? Is that...
I love it. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure because it's so easy. There's no camera. I don't have to get camera ready. I don't have to be, you know, on point that way. I'm in a booth with the engineer and the producer and the mic, and it's freedom. It's freedom, and I get to use my voice, which I like to play around with, and it's just great, great, great fun.
My next question is from the line of Lance Carter from Daily Actor. Please go ahead.
Hey, that's me. Nice talking to you, Kate.
Hi, Lance. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Is that short for Lancelot?
No, but everyone calls me that, especially when I've done something stupid. So.
Oh, I knew exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Nice going, Lancelot.
Right.
You've had such a really great career. What would the advice you would give, you yourself right now, would give to your 18-year-old actor self just starting out?
Find what you love. Find what you love within the field of acting. And honor it. Because discipline in my life has been everything. I was really lucky to find what I loved at the age of, I would say, 12 when I knew, 16 when I really started to break out, and 19 when I became professional. But once you find what you love, you must honor it with the discipline, and that's where a lot of people fall down. And nothing comes to you. It is a real act of faith in oneself, and if you don't have the confidence in yourself, pretend that you do. That goes a long way. But never be late, never be sorry. No apologies, no complaints. Know what you're about and do it. Do it as well as you can.
Wow.
Passion is everything.
Such a great answer.
Yeah.
What was your first professional job?
Simultaneously, I made my stage debut and my television debut. I played the part of Emily in Our Town at the American Shakespeare Festival in Stratford, Connecticut, which was just terrific. And Mary Ryan on Ryan's Hope, which was a soap opera on ABC. But it was a very unusual serial written by Claire Levine. And I would say that Mary Ryan really kicked me off to the races.
Yeah. Wow. And then you mentioned theater. Are there any parts that you're kind of itching to play?
Well, I just played Cleopatra, and I was really itching to play her. And I'm glad I did, because you have to play her, you know, when you can still walk and talk at the same time. And Chekhov is still eluding me, and I don't know why. I've begged everybody. I will play, you know, any Chekhov. I'm about to play Iphigenia in The Millionaires in New York, which will be fun. And there's a new play by Jenny Schwartz, which I'm very interested in. I've done about 4 workshops for that, so I hope that we can get that to Broadway next season.
Thanks, Kate, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I will talk to you soon.